I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome in on this Tuesday morning. Happy you're with us on the first day of October. So glad to have you with us. We are live on Rumble. We got the show up live there now. We are live on X this morning if you want to watch there. Of course, you can download the podcast later if you can't listen to the whole show. We make that easy for you on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast. Happy you're with us this morning. Hey, the big story around the country that is developing today is this longshoreman strike. I thought this comment was interesting from the Commerce Secretary, Gina Raimondo, when she was asked about this, I believe it was last week. Go to cut 12, please.
I'm here in my personal capacity. I would say, look, it's not a secret that this would be, depending on how long it lasts, could be incredibly disruptive to commerce. As you well know, you know that so much commerce moves through the ports, and especially, you know, if it goes a few days, I'm sure companies probably have their plans set. But especially we're in peak season, getting ready for the Christmas season. If a strike were to drag on, I think it could be really very, very disruptive to commerce. So I do hope that the parties, stay at the table and resolve it.
She followed that up by saying she had not been very involved with it. She's the Commerce Secretary. I don't know how that's a thing, but the point is the strike is now underway, and we've got Tanya J. Powers from Fox News Radio who's covering this story this morning. Tanya, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
So what is the real impact here? I mean, is this on both coasts? Is that what's going on?
This is East Coast and Gulf Coast.
Just the East Coast.
The West Coast ports are still open. So let me give you the nuts and bolts of where we are right now. So the port strike started at midnight. That is when the contract between the ports, which is the U.S. Maritime Alliance, and the ILA, which is the International Longshoremen's Association, expired. The ILA has about 45,000 members. This affects ports between Maine and Texas, including the Port of New York and New Jersey, which is the third busiest one in the country. You've also got ports in Virginia, Georgia, Texas that are also affected. About three-fifths of the nation's container shipments go through the ports in the East and the Gulf Coast. So it kind of gives you an idea of the scope of what we're talking about here. As of last night, there had been a little movement, but they hadn't reached a deal, which is, again, why they're striking. The union wants a pay raise, better benefits, and they want a complete ban on automation. This automation part is one of the parts I find really interesting about this because of the technology advances that have been made.
Sure.
And the union says, okay, no automation. Their opening offer was for a 77% pay raise over a six-year contract. And what that breaks down to is basically they wanted a $5 an hour raise in each of the 6 years of the new agreement, bringing it to that number over the life of the six-year contract. Alliance basically had offered, as of last evening, 50%, but they said, no, we're going to keep the automation limits in place from the old contract, which is, again, you know, what one of the sticking points has been. As far as the possible effect this could have, a week-long stoppage could lead to, you know, shortages. There are higher prices, you know, layoffs. So these are all, of course, you know, things that could happen, all of them bad. The strike, as far as what the White House has said in a statement earlier today, they have been involved with monitoring what's going on. Both President Biden and Vice President Harris are monitoring the situation. Yesterday, he had his chief of staff, as well as the National Economic Advisor, meet with the Alliance board members, that's the ones that represent the ports, and urge them to get this to get this fixed in a way that, you know, that gets this problem off the table, so to speak, and stops the whole thing before it gets to go on too long. Because for every day of a strike, you've got, you know, a few days that have to be, you know, followed at, thereafter to basically kind of clean up the mess, you know, and get things going again. And that's for each day of this. So, again, you know, they're hoping that things can come to a resolution with a collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, there is a federal law that if he has to step in and, you know, and make some decisions, he can. He's just trying to let both sides, apparently, according to their statement, you know, get this resolved by themselves.
Yeah. Are there specific goods that are affected the most by this, Tanya? I know you don't have much time left.
Yeah. Well, the Department of Energy, each department basically put out a statement and kind of gave an update. They said that the strike will not impact crude oil, gasoline, natural gas, and other liquid fuel exports and imports. It won't have any immediate impact on fuel supplies or prices. The Department of Agriculture is one that, you know, obviously is a big deal because that means food prices and availability. Obviously, this could have an effect in the near term if it goes on very long on things like fruits and, you know, perishable items like that. Other stuff as far as, typical, you know, stuff, goods, you know, that kind of thing. They don't expect shortages in the near future for most items. Bulk export shipments like grains would be, you know, unaffected by the strike, that kind of thing. So, and it looks like, you know, medicines, that kind of thing would be limited if there was an effect to them.
Tanya, I appreciate the update. Lots of good information there. Thank you.
Sure.
Yep. Thanks. Have a good day. Yeah. Tanya J. Powers with the Fox News Radio. She had to go for another report. But here's the thing about this. The president of the United States has the authority under the Taft-Hartley Act to step in and say there's an 80-day cooling off period before there's going to be any strike. Why wouldn't he do that? Because it would benefit Kamala Harris potentially not to have to face this kind of problem
leading up to the
election.
Because this has to come up tonight during the VP debate,
But it will benefit Kamala Harris if it looks like they're siding with labor here and the union. So that's why he's refusing to invoke Taft-Hartley. He's gambling that this won't go on very long and he'll come out looking good with the unions. Understand how ridiculous it is what they're asking for. A 77% pay increase. Do you know how much money some of these people make? I'm just saying. I mean, there's a matter of greed here to some extent.
Well, how much? What would the average, are
with,
you looking at the average
overtime,
salary?
With overtime, they can make $200,000 a year. Their base salary is about 81, but they all work overtime, and some of them can pull in 200 grand a year with overtime. I mean, I'm just saying, to already make that amount of money and demand a 77% pay increase, a $5 an hour pay increase over the 6-year contract, $5 a year for 6 years, an hour. They're getting almost an 80% pay increase over 6 years if they get what they're demanding.
Most people would be happy.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, it does sound greedy. Most people, I think, would maybe get 2-3% at best.
Tops
year to year. Now the AI thing is interesting because a lot of you're seeing that play out in Hollywood with their strike. They were saying they were worried they'd be replaced with AI. That is something that I think is going to come up in a lot of industries. And I thought of something else, and that is I have a number of friends who have begun growing their own vegetables and fruit that you can. I know obviously being in Missouri, there are certain things that are not going to do well in our climate. But gosh, it makes you feel like you really I should be doing that more. I do not have a green thumb, but my gosh, maybe I need to learn more about gardening because you just don't know when something like this can happen. Not only do you have all the chemicals that are putting into our food,
well, right?
But you never know when there could be a shortage like this.
I know, but the capitalist in me says, what if the longshoremen had struck back in the 1800s if it was a thing and decided that they wanted zero automobiles or trains to be used to transport the product. It'd only be horses and wagons. The technology advances. I don't know how you avoid that. How can you tell your employer, under no circumstances can you use automation to replace me. What employer is going to agree to that?
No,
unless you're blackmailed on it, which is what's going on here.
Well, and maybe that's different. I mentioned the Hollywood thing. Maybe that's different where Hollywood, it sounds like some of these film producers were going to basically take the actual actor's image use AI.
I know.
So that's different.
I don't know
what capacity they would use AI in this industry.
Well, it's automation, not AI. It's what they're talking about.
Automation. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a little
bit. But still, couldn't there be
technology.
AI? So anyway, I just think that it's understandable, but at the same time, to your point, I don't think that you can just demand that because these companies, it is cost effective, and to a degree, probably all industries are going to implement this type of technology.
They've got the administration on their side. Carl, did you hear the soundbite from this guy at the top of Gordon Deal's show this morning?
I did not.
He sounded like Vinny Testosterone.
Yes, I did hear that.
Did you hear
guy.
That? I'm
did.
Thinking,
I'm like, oh,
Carl
wow.
could do this guy's voice.
He is that guy. I'm like, wow.
He sounded like
an East Coast Union guy.
He sounded like a caricature of somebody you would stereotype as some big kind of union boss that he sounded like Vinny Testosterone. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I'll see if I can find that. I'm sure it's on the encoder somewhere. We'll try to find it. All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Minutes. Stay tuned.
Where are the issues most prominent? Where have you been kind of focused and hearing on what would happen if the strike goes, let's say, longer than a week?
Again, I have not been very focused on that. I would refer you to the White House or the Transportation Secretary.
That's Gina Raimondo. She used to be a governor, a liberal governor on the Upper East Coast, Delaware or something like that. And or Maine, maybe? Well, I don't know.
It might be New Hampshire.
She was. I don't think it was New Hampshire, but she was a former governor. She answers this lady's question on a business channel with, I haven't been very involved in that. She's the Commerce Secretary. How are you the Commerce Secretary for the United States and you're not involved at all in a strike? She goes, you need to go talk to Pete Buttigieg, the Transportation Secretary. He's the one you need to talk to about this. Wait a minute, you're the Commerce Secretary.
Rhode Island.
Is about commerce.
Yeah, it's just
for
passing
God's
the buck.
Sake.
She was Rhode Island. So.
The Secretary of Commerce. I'm trying to read the from the government website here. Secretary of Commerce is the head of the United States Department of Commerce. The role of the Secretary. I'm wondering what the hell she does. The role of the Secretary includes promotion of national and foreign commerce. The promotion of national economic growth, job creation, improved living conditions, technological competitiveness, which may be AI, and sustainable development. I just showed Kim this. Somebody sent this to me who listens to the show, Lauren, this morning, sent me a link to this on Twitter and about the need to modernize our ports immediately. And it being a national security issue, because this is one of the issues here. If you were paying attention there during that interview, it's they don't want technology to replace any of their jobs, right? And there's a link here to what's going on in China right now. In the Chinese port of Guangzhou, I think I pronounced that correctly, people unload ships remotely with 5G. And then AI vehicles that have no drivers in them automatically drive the containers to the trucks and load them without human assistance.
I do believe that. Not just going to be China that's doing that.
That's the technology, obviously, the longshoremen here are worried about.
Right.
But I can't help but to compare it. And I'm not for anybody losing their job, but I can't help but to compare it to to like what I said earlier. What if somebody back in the Industrial Revolution said, well, we're going to go on strike, and you can never allow a truck that has an internal combustion engine to transport our product. It always has to be done with a horse and buggy or horse and wagon. I mean, that'd be laughable.
You raise a good point, but I also understand their concern.
Well, sure, I
don't know what the line
is. They're making $200,000
a
year.
Right. I don't know what the line is, though, on jobs being replaced.
Yeah, I don't know how many or how quickly that could happen.
Right.
But there's no doubt that it's coming. There's just no doubt about it.
It's coming to almost every industry. They're going to find some way to implement this technology.
Before I left television news, they were telling me, you're going to have to learn to shoot again with a TV camera. You're going to have to carry the camera and shoot your own stories. I'm like, but that wasn't my strength. My strength was being the reporter, mm-hmm. and the person who always wanted to be a photographer carried the camera. But everybody at Channel 4, I think there are two people left at that station, I heard the other day, who aren't multimedia journalists, and all the rest of them have to go out and shoot their own stuff. The technology has evolved to the point where you can force people to do that in the business.
Well, they're
the
also unions, cheap.
But the unions had to agree to it. There used to be ironclad rules that people who weren't in IBEW couldn't touch a camera, and they had to give that up because of the technology and the pressure, and that's going to have to happen with these longshoremen as well. In the meantime, go buy a couple of extra bunches of bananas today because they may be hard to find if that's your thing, if you got a baby that likes to eat them like Kim's baby
does. Yes, he does.
Yes, indeed.
Nana.
Coming up, we're going to get to John Lamping. We'll talk more about my voter guide and some of the amendments on the ballot. All right, welcome back. You know, early voting is underway in Missouri and Illinois. Of course, right now it's absentee voting with a reason in the state of Illinois. Or state of Missouri, you can request an absentee ballot, or you can even go vote absentee in person as long as you've got an excuse. You're not available that day. You know in advance you have a disability. There's some reason you can't get to the polls. You can do that. But there are big issues on the ballot this year. We got John Lamping, former Missouri senator, on the phone with us this morning. John, how are you?
Good morning, Mark. Kim, good to be with you both.
Yep, great to have you. You know, I was talking about the online sports wagering issue. I've got all this on my voter guide up on the website trying to describe what's going on here. But this Lake of the Ozarks casino and this minimum wage issue, we got a lot of big things to decide here in terms of affecting the Missouri Constitution. If nothing else, John, people should look at what the ballot looks like this year and realize Missouri is a target for a lot of powerful outside interests because we have a weak initiative petition process.
Yeah, it's really interesting. What we're getting is kind of a civics, a live civics lesson. You know, the left in particular often worries about our democracy while completely ignoring the fact that we're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic. And the difference being that democracy is everything's determined by the majority, whereas the way we make laws in this country, both at the state and the federal level, when we go through the legislature, it's a very long and drawn out process. Both the House and the Senate and then the executive branch all participate in lawmaking. But these ballot initiatives, this is pure democracy. And I heard your earlier conversation about how this deceitful, in particular, the gaming amendment is with their rhetoric and how they're marketing the amendment, and this is really the dangers of democracy, is that the people are uninformed and a majority decides something based on false information. And I will tell you that, you know, the fact that our state is the weakest level in order to change laws, it's still this is going on all around the country, where I think powers that be have recognized just how hard it is to make law at the federal level, just how hard it is to make law at the state level, and they've gone directly to the people with just deception and marketing dollars. And it longer term, this will result in a kind of a breakdown of how we as a society are we a democracy, are we a constitutional republic? I think most voting people couldn't tell you the difference.
You know, talking about these, deceptive amendments, Amendment 3 certainly falls under that category. And you have to wonder how many people are going to go vote who wouldn't normally participate even in an election. And I think about, I was just talking about, in fact, for headlines, Lucas Kuntz and Josh Hawley, how they're debating on Halloween, which, by the way, I find odd. That's the day they chose. But anyway, I just wonder, Hawley's up, I think it was like 11 points. And typically I'd say in Missouri, my gosh, there's no chance someone like Lucas Kuntz could ever get close to someone like Josh Hawley. But you have to wonder, could this be a tighter race simply because more people will be coming out to vote because of Amendment 3?
Well, it most certainly can be. You know, the initiative petition, the stem cell amendment that took place in 2006 is why Jim Talent didn't win re-election and Claire McCaskill became a U.S. senator. You know, that's the thing with the initiative petition process is that sometimes it's used very specifically for the actual amendment itself, in this case trying to get online gambling or gambling itself. But in other times, they're used as tools to drive out the vote, just as you described. You know, some of the things, too, that, you know, we've got amendments, we've got propositions. What's the difference? Well, a proposition can be overturned, but it can be it's just a law. Laws can be changed by a legislature. But you'll notice the proposition is for example, around minimum wage. The people that are pushing that, they know very well that this can be overturned. But what they're betting is that if it passes, the legislators themselves will be afraid to vote against a minimum wage level. So there's all kinds of things going on here, none of which are really the intent. The intent is, we're supposed to be governing ourselves. The founding fathers were smart enough to recognize that a constitutional republic had huge advantages over democracy. It's interesting because the 13 original colonies and states, they all have very strong initiative petition laws. North Carolina, for example, doesn't even allow initiative petition. Those first 13 states wanted to operate with freedom at the forefront and independent of the federal government. Unfortunately, by the time Missouri was formed in 1821 and a lot of the other states in the middle part of the country, they had to look to the federal government first to get approval to become a state. And more often, the federal government actually owned all the land. So in order for Missouri to become a state, it had to get the federal government to help them out. And so they have less strong laws around initiative petitions because they didn't know they weren't really formed so specifically on individual liberty and freedom like the first 13 colonies were, who have the strongest initiative petition laws.
It's amazing. I wish people understood to a greater extent the impact, John, that the lobbyists have on controlling what actually happens in Jeff City. But this Lake of the Ozarks casino issue, it's Amendment 5 on the ballot this year. I'm a no on it, not because I'm opposed to people gambling. I'm suspicious of who's pushing this because somebody's about to make a whole lot of money off of it. They had to go to court and overturn Jay Ashcroft's decision that they didn't have enough signatures. They got a Cole County judge to overturn that decision and put this on the ballot. There's big money behind this somewhere, and it's not going to help the schools any because it's very questionable how much, if any, money would even end up going to our schools.
Yeah, like, for example, the way the lottery works is the lottery was marketed as it would go to schools. And so the lottery money goes to schools, but it doesn't mean that the legislators have to allocate the same amount of money that they would otherwise allocate from the state budget. So it's a joke. They look at the lottery revenue dollars and they say, okay, we're going to get $400 million or $500 million. Well, that's $500 million less we have to spend of general revenue to education. You know, again, this process, everything that's on the ballot, it has a for-profit motive or it's a political strategy motive. It's not the people of Missouri that are asking for these things. The way that they would ask for these things is they would go to the General Assembly and ask the General Assembly to put these on the ballot. These are all special interests. These are all for-profit entities, and they're very deceptive and deceitful. And it's unfortunate that we are where we are, that we have this process. I think it, longer term, I think it's actually starting to show up where, to the detriment of our culture and society in our state, that this process exists and it flourishes the way it does.
Are you planning to watch tonight's VP debate?
Oh, yeah, I think tonight's going to be great. You know, I don't think we've had anyone as skillful as J.D. Vance with political television specific political rhetoric. Obviously, he's a very bright. Well, actually, I think Vivek is, and it's funny that Vivek and he are both good friends, went to school together.
Yeah.
They're both so very good at what they being on television.
Yes.
Obviously, J.D. Vance was on CNN for a while, and I think it has potential to be a wonderful bloodbath.
Yeah, and we'll all be tuned in. People can listen here at 97.1 FM Talk. It'll start about 8 o'clock Central Time tonight, 9 Eastern. John Lamping, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Great being with you guys.
Yep, great, great to get that information from you as well. I hope people are paying attention. Again, all of this is spelled out in the voter guide. The Lake of the Ozarks casino thing, I jokingly said, I'm waiting for Marty and Wendy Bird to show up and do a commercial for them, right? For all we know, Marty Bird is running the financing for this operation. It's just art, life imitating art. It's so weird that there's suddenly people down there pushing for this casino near the Bagnell Dam. And if you've ever been down there on a busy summer weekend, they don't seem to be lacking for tourism dollars. I mean, the place is packed on the weekends. I just don't know. Somebody's making a lot of money on this, and it's not the people living at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah. Well, and as it relates to going to Amendment 2 with the online betting, it's annoying that they have to be so deceptive about it, because if they just spelled it out exactly as far as what it would actually do,
people wouldn't
vote in favor for it. Just like the abortion amendment. If you actually said what it would do, they know that in Missouri, a conservative state, it would not pass. But the way that they have phrased it, which is so deceptive and misleading, they know that some quote unquote conservatives, I'm sorry, probably some listeners of the show who have written into us, will vote for, because they would say, well, I do believe there should be certain circumstances that you can justify it. And that's exactly what they want. That they play on your emotions. You feel bad. They put up the ladies like you talk about on the Amendment 2, the blonde help our schools. And same for Amendment 3. It's this, really cute couple. And it's like, protect the kids.
IVF and all this stuff.
Okay,
it's got nothing to do with any of that.
I'm sorry. You're protecting the kids? Is that what abortion does? Got it.
No, it doesn't. I hope people will read the voter guide, though, because I've spelled out, particularly on Amendment 3, on the abortion issue, the specific language, there's no argument about it. The specific language that allows abortion up until a full term for a baby, it's right in there. Go read it. You go to 971talk.com. It's pinned to the top of the page. Read it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it, but I've done the legwork for you. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll get to another news. Stay tuned.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
Pete Rose, Major League Baseball's all-time hit leader, passed away at age 83. It was announced by the Cincinnati Reds yesterday. He accumulated 4,256 hits during his 24 career, the most in MLB history. Also set records for games played, plate appearances, and at-bats. He won 3 batting titles, 2 gold gloves, and earned 17 All-Star selections, along with 3 World Series titles and a Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, what was with that audio you played? It sounded like it was from the 1930s, but I know it was from the 1970s.
That was the All-Star game where he took out the catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
Mark and I have been talking about, should he be in the Hall of Fame?
Of course he should.
Yeah, I'm not like I'm some huge baseball fan, but even I would say he should be in the Hall of Fame.
There shouldn't be a Hall of Fame if he's not in it. I've got some nasty people on Facebook. I put out a post yesterday on it. They're like, that's the meaning of a lifetime ban. It's a lifetime, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're ignoring the fact that Pete Rose was welcomed back into the Cincinnati Reds organization, and he would go wear the red jacket like we do with the Cardinals here and all that stuff over the years. So he would have to walk past the window where you could bet on baseball while he was at the games, but he's not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball one time 40 years ago. It's just nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah, you got to look at it as, if you tell the story of Major League Baseball, can you not have Pete Rose in?
Thank you.
You have to.
Thank you.
I mean, it's the same with
like
Barry
eliminating
Bonds.
Stan Musial.
Even if you put the asterisk or something next to it, or you just still got to tell the story.
Yeah.
Did you say asterisk?
Yeah, an asterisk.
I'm not going to say anything more.
Did I say it wrong?
No, you said it right.
Asterisk.
He said it.
No, I said asterisk.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll move along.
Rubbing off on him.
We lost another legend yesterday, too. Hall of Famer and legendary shot blocker Dikembe Mutombo passed away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer, which he was diagnosed with in October of 22.
I actually heard about his death before Pete Rose's death.
I didn't even see it on Twitter. Like I told you, I saw a post that came up. It was in my feed for some reason that Obama was talking about it, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Over his 18-year career, Mutombo became one of the greatest defensive players, earning 8 All-Star selections and winning Defensive Player of the Year 4 times. He led the league in blocks for 3 consecutive years, which was 94 through 96, and he led in rebounds in 2000 and 2001. And, a side note, he also kind of sounded like Cookie Monster.
Now I have to listen.
And he had those Geico commercials.
Yeah.
Too. Oh, he did. Yeah.
When he was blocking shots after he'd retired.
Mark, you're good at accents. Do you know Cookie Monster?
7'2".
Cookie Monster.
What? No.
No. That's Yoda.
Wow.
That wasn't Yoda.
It kind of was. Looks like DirecTV announced yesterday that it will acquire.
Now that was better. Yes. Come on.
Oh,
I'm
my
so
God.
Glad we're going off the rails.
His voice kind of broke when he talked. So I think you do. There's a little bit of Yoda in the Cookie Monster.
And he would always wag the finger at people when he blocked a shot. Back to DirecTV.
I can't do this. DirecTV announced yesterday that it's going to acquire its rival Dish Network following years of merger talks. Not murder. The company stated...
If you have DirecTV, you may want to murder somebody when it doesn't work because it's raining.
I know it sounded weird in my headphones, so I'm like, did that sound right?
But also, Sling TV is part of that deal, too.
I'm over all this. I have a strong feeling. I have strong feelings about all these streaming services. I cannot keep up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If it's completed, the merger service would have around 20 million subscribers, although the U.S. government can step in and stop this. They previously blocked a 2002 merger between the two competitive grounds, so we'll see if that actually goes through or not. Looks like electric vehicle drivers are being warned of fire risk after reports of EVs exploded during the flooding during Hurricane Helene. Authorities urge motorists to move their vehicles or report them if it's unsafe. And most EVs use the lithium-ion batteries, which can react dangerously with water, especially salt water, potentially leading to spontaneous combustion.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to laugh because that's obviously extremely scary and that's horrible. But it's just like, gosh, like the way that they're pushing these EVs on everybody, and clearly they just keep having
issues.
See
the stories out of the results of this flooding from Helene. Anywhere one of these EVs got submerged, it causes the batteries to overheat and the cars exploded.
Oh my gosh.
So just be warned about that. Don't keep EVs if you live in floodplains or very cold temperatures, because that's not going to work out very well.
Like a good part of the country, basically, you should not have
potentially. You should think about that. It's a risk
if they want to mandate it, Harrison Biden.
Fire departments do specific training for an EV car fire because they're very difficult to put out.
I bet.
And one last quick one. The Social Security Administration is expected to announce a cost of living adjustment in the next 2 weeks to help offset inflation. According to the forecast by the Senior Citizens League, the increase is expected to be around 2.5%. So you might get a raise if you're on Social Security.
Oh, there you go. If it didn't go bankrupt
2%.
First. Well, just... Yeah. Better vote Trump if you want to keep that thing working for you for a while, for sure. Hey, coming up, our buddy Scott Warman is going to join us to talk more about the big Cardinal news conference yesterday, as disappointing as it was to most of us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.